Hello, welcome. So we're listening to a chat called Om for Meditation. It's from a CD called Music for Deep Meditation. And in just a minute, I'm going to mute everybody, and we're going to start our official class. And I would, as we start, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody who's been sharing on the listserv, and to those of you who have been tuning in, not sharing, because sometimes we don't feel like sharing, but practicing. It's just a gigantic pleasure to be part of this satsang, the sangam, and the whole beautiful we space that is being formed here. So in this, our second class in Falling in Love with Meditation, we're going to go a little bit deeper into the practice that we started last week, and we're going to continue also with a practice that will be new to some of you, not so new to some of you, but I would say revelatory, because it's one of those core practices that actually is just intrinsically revelatory. I called this class Falling in Love with Meditation partly because it was the seminal event of my life was falling in love with meditation, which I did about 40 years ago. And it was also the original title of my book, which is now called Meditation for the Love of It. The title Falling in Love with Meditation was originally rejected because it sounded to some people as though the book were going to be about how to fall in love with somebody else while practicing meditation, which of course is very possible, and perhaps one of the unintended consequences of the book. But in any case, I love the sound of falling in love with meditation. And I've found, and I hope this is true for you, that I've fallen in love with meditation over and over and over again over the years, and hope to go on falling in love with it over and over again for many years to come. And that's also my hope for you. One of my friends said to me recently that the practice that we do, the practice that I teach and the practice that we do together, at the core of it, the key to it, is the understanding that we meditate not so much for what we get out of it, not so much for the beautiful effects of meditation practice, but for the sake of meditation itself. Because the truth is that when we do a practice, or indeed anything for its own sake, for the sake of the practice or for the sake of the work, or for the sake of what we're actually doing in and of itself, whenever we practice for the sake of practice, the fruits come on their own. The fruits come on their own. In other words, we really don't have to expect results, especially not in spiritual practice. My teacher, who once said that, once he was once asked what was the greatest achievement of his life, and he said, the greatest achievement of my life was making friends with God. And so he had a very intimate relationship with the absolute reality, both as pure consciousness and also in a very personal way. And he used to say, in regard to our practice and our service and all the activities that we perform for the sake of love or for the sake of making an offering to the world or simply for the sake of the enjoyment of the inner world, he would say that God will never be in your debt. So whatever you do that's good for the planet or good for your soul is always going to bear fruit, no matter how tedious or boring or even difficult it may seem to be at the time. It's always going to bear fruit. So we actually don't have to worry about whether our meditation practice is going to work. When we do it for its own sake, the stress reduction factor comes on its own. The answers to our questions come on their own. The experience of the deeper experiences of awakening come on their own. They happen as we enter into the process, and they happen because of the natural grace that meditation brings forth in us. And they also happen, and this is really important because of the power of the Sangam, the power of the we space that we inhabit together. So as we begin, let's celebrate the we space, the Sangam, the gathering for a moment. The privilege, the gift of being able to gather with each other in this space to meditate with the Shakti that arises when a group comes together for the purpose of a higher evolution, for the purpose of spiritual practice, for the purpose of love. Karen asked last week on the listserv, how can we kindle the we space? What does the we space mean in practice, and what are the factors that make it occur? And I thought I would say something about this on the call, because it might be something that others of you have wondered about. The term we space is one that actually came out, at least as far as I know, it came out of conversations in the integral world back in 2005, 2006, when I was involved in something called the Integral Spiritual Center. And we used to talk about the experience that we would have when we were together, and how when we were together, this space would arise that was greater than the sum of ourselves as individuals, and this is one of the things that I notice about collective spaces, that every we space, every collective communal shared space, has its own quality, its own character, its own nature, which perhaps has to do with the nature of the people who are involved in it. It might have something to do with the nature of the lineage that's coming together in the space. It, I think, undoubtedly has something to do with the particular nature of what I would call the guiding energy that's present in different spiritual traditions, each of which has its own particular flavor. You know, some are more about clarity, some are more about love, and some of them are about what I think of as a big embrace, a kind of wide, you might call it motherly, but it doesn't have a particular gender flavor to it, but it's a kind of, I would call it the cosmic intention to hold space for growth in the community that's formed. And my experience of the we space, the particular virtual space that occurs in these teleclasses, is that this embracing quality, this very large loving intention that each of us here have our own unique growth experience, our own unique expansion and opening, that this is really the intention of these teleclasses that we enter into together. And that intention partly comes from the shared intention of each one of you, partly from my intention, and partly from the more mysterious presence of the subtle energies that, some people call them guides, some people call them teachers from subtle planes. The energies that gather here when we begin to enter this space together. So in honor of you, in honor of those subtle presences, and in honor of meditation itself, let's find ourselves a posture. Make sure that you're comfortable and supported. Make sure that if you're sitting on the floor, that your hips and thighs and buttocks are 2 to 4 inches above your knees. And inhaling down into the belly, into the base of the posture, feel your base relaxing and deepening, grounding, and especially taking the support of the seat. So rather than feeling that you have to hold yourself up, really feel as though the earth, the seat, the cushion, the chair, whatever you're sitting on, is supporting you and you can let your base, your buttocks, release into the seat. And then on the next exhalation, see if you can allow your body to rise upward, to elongate upward in this very natural fashion, as though the breath itself was exercising and is indeed exercising its power to uplift. So feel the breath lifting you up through the crown of the head, inhaling, grounding through the base, exhaling, lifting, and then inhaling and allowing the chest to open, to widen, the shoulder blades to release onto the back. And feel how, as you allow the posture to assume this natural alignment, your head also will align, so that the crown seems to be subtly rising upward towards the ceiling, or if you prefer, towards the sky, while the chin drops just a tiny bit forward, with as if you had the intention to bow your head in prayer, but you don't actually bow your head. You just let the chin drop slightly, and you maintain the curve in your neck. So we'll begin by chanting the invocation. We'll chant with Krishna Das, the invocation on your chanting sheets. This is, as I said in response to a question on the listserv, these mantras are very, very old mantras from the Shaiva tradition of India. They were mantras that my guru used to sing whenever he talked, he would chant these mantras as an introduction. And I learned to chant them at the beginning of meditation. So, and these mantras are chanted in different lineages, have been chanted in different satsangs and classes in the yoga world over the last few years. And the tune that we'll sing it to was actually, there are several tunes that these mantras are traditionally sung in. This particular tune was one that Krishna Das composed, and he's also, of course, going to lead our chanting. So we'll chant the invocation, Om Namah Shivaya Gurave, which, as you remember, calls on the power of your own consciousness, to the power of your authentic evolutionary impulse, that is, the power of the inner self to connect you up, to tune you in to the very highest capacities of your own spirit. That's who we ask to be present with us as we chant these mantras. And in these Sanskrit words, in these Sanskrit phrases, we invoke consciousness in the name of Shiva, the underlying awareness, whose nature is pure being, pure intelligence, and pure blissfulness, and who is both your teacher and yourself. And as we finish the mantras, we'll chant them three times. We'll then, I will repeat, and you can repeat silently after me, the words of a prayer asking that our meditation, our practice be of benefit. So you can close your eyes. Allow the breath to bring your attention into the heart behind the breastbone, feeling that the breath flows in and out through the heart, even horizontally through the heart. And we'll chant.
Shantaya Niralambaya
We ask that all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. May all beings be free of hatred, grasping, and ignorance. May we know the equality of all that lives. Your eyes are closed. Your attention is flowing with the breath. And you're aware of the breath flowing through your nostrils, flowing down through the chest region, flowing down towards the belly. So as much as possible and with as much relaxation as possible, just let yourself be fully aware of the flow of the breath. You're letting the body open to the breath. It's flowing on its own. It's flowing as particles of light and energy. And as you let the body open to the breath, see if you can feel that inside the breath are these particles of tender, loving warmth. The breath moves through you. It flows in and out with the radiance and the natural warmth of the universe itself. It's as if the energy of the divine, the energy of the sacred, which is the subtle presence that manifests as this universe, your breath, is being breathed by this presence. And with each inhalation and each exhalation, you surrender yourself a little more to the rhythm of the breath, to the caress of the breath. With subtle attention, gentle attention, see if you can let yourself recognize how the breath is filled with particles of tender light, with particles of shakti, of life force energy. And you're simply allowing yourself to receive it, to open to it, so that your body becomes a vehicle for the movement of the life force, which nourishes you and everything else. And if thoughts are arising, as you notice the thought, just say to yourself, thought, I welcome this thought. You can actually think this to yourself or just have the sensation, the feeling of welcoming the thought. And as you become aware of sensations in your body, you have the feeling of welcoming the sensations, whatever noise, whatever emotion, whatever arises in the space, you just let it be part of the gentle process of being breathed by the life force of the universe and welcome it. You can open your eyes if you like, or you can sit with your eyes closed. And I have a few things to say before we introduce the next stage of our meditation practice. It's very good if perhaps throughout the class you can let yourself, in these intervals when I'm talking, you can just let yourself stay with this gentle sense of the breath flowing in and out of the body, letting yourself welcome the breath into the body. And for those of you who have catches in your breath or where you feel that there's anxiety in the breath, then if that's the case, don't try to pay so much attention to the breath. Just see if you can let it happen. I have to say that one of the big turning points in my meditation experience was when I first asked a skilled meditation teacher about anxiety in the breath. I've been doing a very focused breath practice where you breathe energy up the spine and all the way up through the head and then down to the base of the spine. And I never could get a long enough breath, so I was always kind of stopping and catching myself. And so I asked this teacher what I should do about the fact that, you know, I had anxiety in these breathing practices. And he said, forget who's breathing. And you know, it sounded very simple, but that instruction, forget who's breathing, actually began to allow me to realize that the breath is happening on its own, and that if we don't try to make the breath happen in a particular way, in other words, if we don't try to turn it into a breath control practice, that actually the anxieties that may be lodged in our breathing through early childhood experience or whatever other reason will begin to resolve, and the breath actually becomes freed when we learn to detach our sense of doership from the breath, our sense of being the breather. So just let the breath flow in and out. And in the spirit of allowing and in the spirit of natural rhythm, I'd like to address just a couple of points about practice. You know, the first is that everybody's meditation has its own natural rhythm, just as the body has its biorhythm and our relationships have their own rhythm. To some extent, of course, we all share the rhythm of meditation, just as we all share biorhythms, but we also each have our own personal rhythm, and this means that there are going to be times when meditation feels very deep. We might be having a lot of experience, feeling a lot of spaciousness or bliss, or you know, having visions even, or lots of insight coming up. There'll be times when it feels peaceful, and there'll be times when it's when it feels like a struggle, when it's actually hard for us to sit, when we, you know, our body is so restless that we just want to get up. So the real secret of falling in love with meditation, of being in love with our meditation, is to recognize when these rhythms happen that they are, in fact, part of the rhythm of your awakening. You know, I'll say it again. They're part of the rhythm of your awakening. And the truth is that in anybody's meditation practice and in everybody's practice in general, whether it's yoga or or self-inquiry, or creative writing or art, anything that has to do with opening up to the soul, to the deep level of ourselves, there are just going to be times when it's easy and times when it's a struggle. There'll be times when we really feel open and times when we just can't imagine while we're doing it. The understanding that I've found that's really made a difference for me and that I offer you is that when we understand that meditation is really our opportunity to be present with ourselves, that meditation is a time when we're with ourselves and we're with ourselves in whatever way ourself is right now. So at different points in your practice, whether you're here in the class with all of us or whether you're sitting on your mat at home, there will also be times when you feel like you're in meditation and times when you feel like you're not. So, in other words, you might feel like you fell asleep or you might just pop right up out of meditation. Someone mentioned this on the listserv, actually, and someone mentions it in almost every meditation class that I teach. There are just times when your body seems to jerk you out of meditation. You've been inside and suddenly you're awake. Now, this is a tremendously important moment in practice. In fact, it's one of the moments when you can practice the art of meditating. My teacher gave me two pieces of advice which I've found endlessly useful. And the first is that when you sit for meditation, you stay on the mat until the time you've decided to meditate is over. I mean, of course, if there's a fire in the building, or your baby falls out of his crib, of course you would get up and take care of the emergency. But under normal circumstances, even if there are interruptions, even if your mind is driving you nuts, stay on the mat. And the reason why this is so important is because creating the habit of sitting for meditation is more than anything else a matter of making the commitment to doing it and staying with the commitment. And it's really through your commitment, it's your clear intention and your clear commitment that will take you through the ups and downs of meditation. It will really carry you through the times when you don't feel like it's getting you any place, or when you're bored, or even when it, you know, things are going on that you're not sure you like. So it's also very helpful in this process to have a timer, one of those Zen alarm timers, which have a lovely bell sound, is good. Or you can just set an alarm, use a timer on your phone. The thing is that it's very helpful and secure-making to know that your time is going to be measured for you. So if you're doing 20 minutes, you know that the alarm is going to go off at the end of 20 minutes, and you don't have to keep opening your eyes and peeking at the clock. So, and the second reason that this is so important, those of you who've meditated for some time know what I'm talking about, is that you actually never know what openings will occur in the last minutes of meditation. There's something, there's a phenomenon that I've noticed for years, and it's this, it's that very often we are unconsciously trying, sometimes trying a little bit too hard in the course of our practice, and this is just natural. It's the way human beings are built. We tend to try. Or our minds might be wandering. We might be in a state of reverie. But very often, just a minute or two before the meditation period is up, you'll drop in. Or, you know, it'll feel as though the whole space opens up. There's a shift. And this sense of this shift, this opening, this sudden recognition of sweetness, or the completion of an inner process, it can happen in any moment, but it's very likely to happen just at the end. So the second aspect of the art of meditation, next to just staying there and doing it, is what you do with your restlessness and your feelings of obstruction. And really, it's this that, as many of you know, is really the essence of the practice. So this practice that we were working with last week of welcoming whatever arises, allowing whatever arises to happen, and yet keeping your sense of direction, your intention to keep going inside, rather than trying to get rid of the thoughts or feelings, trying to get your mind to get quiet. It'll get quiet on its own. This is one of the great secrets of the mind, that if you just sit, the mind will get quiet on its own, just like a Coke bottle, where the fizz settles down if you let it sit there. So the welcoming practice is profoundly helpful, as many of you have shared. But if it's too distracting to deliberately welcome or to name something, thought, just do something just very subtle, like noting. You know, that sense of noting, it's almost an inner blip or an inner when you just become aware, you become conscious. In other words, you just want to activate awareness of what's going on. Then you take a few breaths. You adjust your posture if need be. And then you return to the concentration practice. And those moments I've found when you're pulled out of meditation or, a noise interrupts you, it actually can be a very powerful time once you remember to pull back, because it lets you, for a moment, simply become aware of your whole experience. And truly speaking, it's those moments when you're consciously aware of what's going on inside your meditation field that are the moments that will take you deeper. So the practice of becoming aware of the context within which you're sitting, that is, the body sensations, the felt sense of breath, the sense of the presence around you, noticing that you're thinking or that an emotion is coming up. And then if you also make the subtle effort to become aware of your awareness, of your capacity for noticing, as you learn to do that, then you use moments of distraction or moments of slumping or moments when you go out, when you go to sleep, as signals just for a moment to become conscious and consciously aware of that in you which knows what you're doing, which observes what you're doing, which is present to your experience. This is sometimes called witness practice. It's sometimes called opening to what is. And what we start to notice as we begin to become more present to the knowingness that's an intrinsic part of the mind, that's the awareness that's present, whether we know it or not, at every moment of our life, that awareness of our own awareness, that ability to be present to the presence that's living through us, actually will begin to become, in a certain sense, our default setting. We'll be able to come back to presence when we're meditating and eventually during other times in our life. And this is when our practice of meditation begins to become a practice of really waking up to what we are at our core. So this opening to presence is really one of the doorways into the awake self, into the enlightened self. Many teachers will tell you that when you're aware of yourself, when you're conscious of your experience, and then turn your attention back to awareness itself, that you are actually in your enlightened self, that in those moments you are your awake self. So right now, notice the position of your body, however it is. Notice that you're hearing my voice, that you're being aware of the breath, of the thoughts, the quality of your own energy. And notice your awareness, that quality or that capacity in your experience that's able to hold and reflect and contain your experience. And as you become aware of that powerful experiencing awareness, just notice that for awareness, for this deep, subtle, knowing part of you, everything is just as it is. And everything is really all right just as it is. Because as awareness, you really are unchanging, ever-present, expanded. And in some deep way, okay. And that awareness, that sense of being, is the non-verbal aspect that we name with the mantra, I am. So, truthfully, when you practice as we have been practicing with the mantra, I am, what we're really doing is calling the name of that nameless awareness whose fundamental experience is I am. And by calling the name, by using the words, I am, it's like we're bringing forth this sense of aware beingness that's our deep self. So I know that we've already started to go into meditation, but I'd like to bring you out of meditation just for a second, sort of like the nurse in the hospital waking you up to give you a sleeping pill. I'd like to ask you to focus just a little bit on intention. Intention. Because practicing with intention is actually one of the ways that our meditation starts to affect the rest of our life. So you're here, the breath is flowing, and you can begin to have the sense that the breath is flowing down towards the inner belly, blossoming the heart with the exhalation. Inhaling with the sense of I am, and then with the exhalation, just allowing the breath to flow through and blossom the heart wordlessly. And I'd like to ask you to think for a second, to consider a question that you might like to pose to your inner being, to seed into your meditation. And it could be just something, just a general question, you know, like, please give me insight at this moment in my life, or what do I need to know about X? Or what do I need to know to go deeper in meditation? Just a simple question. Or it can be an intention, such as in this meditation, I'll remain aware of my awareness throughout, or in this meditation, I'm going to allow my breath to flow in whatever way it likes. So take a moment, if you haven't already, to find a question or an intention that you want to offer into your meditation, and don't think too much about it. You can use the first one that comes up. Now, with the inhalation, just have the feeling that this question is flowing in with the breath into your inner body, touching down into the core of the belly, and sense the question flowing with the exhalation up through the heart. And just do this a couple of times, letting the intention or question flow in with the breath, and then flow out through the heart with the breath. You're really offering it in this way into the meditative space. And you're letting meditation take it. Without any expectation, just to see what happens if you flow into meditation with a question or with an intention. Just to see how your question or your intention affects your meditation or the minutes after your meditation. So you're letting meditation take your question, take your issue. And now the breath flows in and down towards the inner belly with the thought, I am. Remember, you're not trying to force the breath down towards the belly. You're just having the slight intention that the breath flow down towards the belly, down in the direction of the belly. And then with the exhalation, the breath flows up into the heart, opening and expanding the heart. And with the inhalation, you have the thought, I am. With the exhalation, you simply allow the breath to flow as it will, with the sense that it's expanding and opening the heart, that it's blossoming the heart. And some of you may like to use the image of a flower in the heart, a lotus in the heart, a rose in the heart that blossoms with the breath. The breath flowing in with I am, your attention very gently flowing with the breath. flowing out, the exhalation flowing out, just as it is with the exhalation. Your focus very soft, very gentle. Just a slight tendency to let your attention flow with the breath and the thought, I am, into the belly. To flow with the exhalation, opening the heart, even perhaps with the thought of a flower in the heart, but that's not necessary. And in this sense of the breath flowing, there's a feeling of friendliness, of welcome. The flow and rhythm of the breath. Gentle attention to the I am thought as the breath flows into the belly. Gentle attention to the heart as the breath flows up and expands the center in the chest. And again, the breath is flowing in down towards the center of the belly with the thought, I am. Flowing up and blossoming the heart. The inhalation flowing in with I am. The exhalation silently blossoming and expanding the heart. And as the breath flows, as your awareness flows with the breath in the inner body, see if you can become aware of your own awareness. See if you can become aware of the knowing part of your mind. The knowingness that makes it possible for you to experience all this. The awareness presence, which is always there, present to the breath, present to the concentration, present to thought. The breath flows in and down towards the core of the belly with I am, up through the heart, and as your attention flows with the breath, right now you let yourself be present to awareness. Notice that in you, which is conscious of whatever you're experiencing now. So even in the midst of your attention, your gentle, friendly attention to the breath and the I am, you let yourself draw back and be aware of that alive intelligence, that wordless knowingness. The you that is always present to whatever you're experiencing. The awareness that's always free. The awareness that knows the breath, that knows the words in your mind, that knows the feelings. The awareness that holds your whole experience. It's luminous, it's clear. And if you can stay present to awareness, just let yourself rest there. And otherwise, bring your awareness back to the breath, your attention back to the breath, and let it flow in and down to the core of the belly, and apt to blossom the heart. Just as the breath is the energy that lives your life, that lives through you, awareness is the great heart that holds your life. So softly let your attention flow down to the belly with the inhalation, with I am, which is the name of awareness. And let the exhalation flow through the heart and expand the heart. Your body welcomes the breath, welcomes the sensations within the body, the I am thought, an expression of welcome. And just let go of any effort, any focus, any attention, and just allow what is to be as it is. Just let yourself be in this moment. As you are. If there's anything you'd like to write down from that last few moments of meditation, please feel free to do that. So what we've just been doing in that practice is integrating two approaches to meditation. One is the gentle focus practice of attending to the breath, to the mantra, the I am, allowing ourselves to become more present to our subtle energy body, the essential practice of concentrative meditation. And then in the midst of it, we've segued out to do this powerful, very basic self-reflective action of turning into the subtlest form of presence in our experience, the awareness that's the holding space for everything that goes on in our meditation and also in our life. (Clears throat) And I just want to reiterate that the secret of both doing concentrative practice, where you focus on an object, so to speak, like the breath or the sound or the inner body or all of them at once, the secret of the concentrative practice is doing it softly. In other words, letting your focus be not too tight and not too loose. So a lot of the trouble that we have when we're meditating is feeling that our concentration, our focus has to be very, very tight and absolute. And in fact, this tight focus, ironically, keeps us out of meditation. It confines our meditation. So for those of you who've heard the famous story about the Buddha, who compared meditation and the whole practice of inner work, the whole approach to inner practice, to tuning the strings on a tambura, the tambura is a very simple stringed instrument, which often goes out of tune. And so when Indian musicians play the tambura, which is a kind of a drone, they're always having to bring it back in tune. And what the Buddha said is, when you tune the instrument, it should be not too tight, not too loose. This is the famous middle way. Not too tight a focus, but not such a loose focus that your mind is all over the place. There's this place in the middle where you're focused but soft. Your attention, which, you know, as we know, energy follows attention. So you're just bringing your attention to the deepening of the breath. And the sound I am, more and more as you focus on the I am with the inhalation, you begin to recognize that I am is not so much something you repeat. It's more of an awareness. So as you meditate with this thought, I am, what it does is it calls forth that presence that knows that it exists, that knows that it's alive, that knows that it's you. It's really the presence of your authentic self, your true self, your essential aliveness that is present, namelessly, wordlessly. It's really the presence of the divine being who's living as you, the God who's living as you. That being's core experience is I am. And as we let the breath and the sound of the really calling the name of the self, if we allow that to just sound softly within us, then little by little it becomes more and more natural to go, ah, that being that I am actually has a very subtle nature of awareness, and you begin to be able to sense your own awareness as a presence that is ever-present. So then even when you're just sitting there listening to me talk, and later, as you're going about your life, there is a thread of I am, a thread of being, a thread of recognition of awareness. So in just a moment, I'm going to put us into a mode where you're all free, welcome to unmute yourselves by pressing *6 and then share with us anything that you would like to tell us about your meditation or a question that you'd like to ask. So if you'd like to say something, press *6 and we'll all be able to hear you.
Hello, Sally.
Hello. Who's this?
My name is Shiva Nandan.
Hi, Namaste. Shiva. Namaste.
Namaste.
It's very nice to hear your voice. Namaste.
Thank you so much, Sally. I had a quick question. These meditations, can I do it immediately after yoga or jogging or even, you know, after lifting weights, or should I wait for a while? Thank you.
Oh, that's a wonderful question, and I think many of you might have this question. I love to meditate after any form of exercise. So after yoga is a great time, and you can do it instead of Shavasana or before Shavasana. And in fact, I would say an ideal way to practice would be to do some yoga and then to sit for meditation, and then at the end of meditation, practice Shavasana for a few minutes. And that way you really assimilate the whole thing. And the same is true of lifting weights, or I actually love to meditate after I've been for a very brisk walk, because the prana comes up very strongly in your body when you've been exercising, so it actually helps meditation. So thank you so much. No, go ahead.
So you don't have to actually wait for your heart rate or your, you know, being to subside a little bit before you go into it. You can right away go into it, go into the meditation.
Yeah, but what you'll find is as you sit, you know, when you sit for meditation, even if your heart rate has been up, it will naturally and gradually come down on its own. So the process of preparing for meditation, finding a posture, closing your eyes, you know, letting your attention settle on the breath. It'll quiet your body. So yeah, go for it, and let us know how it is for you.
Sure will. Thank you.
Pleasure. So, does anyone else have a question? We are taking practical questions as well as metaphysical questions.
Hi, Sally. My name is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
And my question is regarding positions for meditation. About over the last month, first I have been an on and off meditator for years, and then I committed to your 28-day revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have developed chronic back pain on my left side, lower left side. So I am unable to sit for meditation, and so I've had to accept that and adjust to a laying position at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I sit too long, it's extremely painful afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm hoping this goes away, but I am getting a lot of results from the practice, and I'm committed, you know, like we talked about last week, that commitment. But I'm having a hard time letting go of not being able to sit for my seated meditation. And I'm wondering if I should give up until my back pain goes away, or I should just accept where I'm at, because I it's hard for me not to focus on the back pain when I'm in, you know, throughout the day and especially in meditation. So I guess I'm looking for some feedback from you on that.
Well, Jennifer, how is it when you're lying in Shavasana?
It's better.
So
it's better,
but I
always have the pain.
You mean when you're sleeping day and night?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
And I've tried some, you know, alternative things, and I wonder if it's in some funny way, if my body is healing itself from something. It's almost, it's so predominant, and I've taken my spiritual consciousness to a different level over the last 4 to 6 weeks, and there must be something in that space there that either I can't let go of, or there it's fear or sadness, or because the pain is tremendous. And but my conscience tells me that it's not, you know, like a medical emergency or anything.
Well, you, as
you
know,
heard of that?
Yeah, I have heard of it. I have heard of that, and a lot of people have back pain during times of great change, you know, or when something is being let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And
like that, my daughter went off to college, for example.
Did your daughter just go off to college? Yeah. That's really interesting, and because I've heard this from other people, who's mm-hmm. you know, in that situation when there's a big change mm-hmm. in your life, like your kids going away to school, that you know that mm-hmm. it creates a kind of you know, a grieving, a sense of ending, and very often we take
mm-hmm.
it in the body. So
mm-hmm.
I would say I would suggest a couple of things. First, that you really do let yourself meditate in Shavasana, and when you do, set yourself up really well so that, you know, you have a
correct.
Pillow under
right.
your knees,
mm-hmm.
right, that yep. you're aligned really well. And then when you go into meditation, actually ask the question without, you know, trying to figure out the answer, but ask, you know, find a way to ask the question. So, you know, what is it that I need to let go of?
Mm-hmm.
What insight can you give me as to any subtle reasons, you know, why this pain is in my body? Just ask the question, and I can tell you that you know, over time you will start to get a sense of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the secret is not
to... I know it's going
to
go away. I mean, I'm confident.
Yeah, of course.
And so I'm not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly,
like
exactly.
Like, to continue to be with it? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and even to welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to like to soften around it,
mm-hmm.
to let it be present, but you know, but softly. So do continue meditating. It's going to speed up the process of letting go. And
And
write us a note on the listserv and let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your class.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank you for your practice.
You and your community, thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. So we can take one more question, and then we're going to do another practice. So you can give us your question, or you can tell us what happened to you during the last meditations. So I'm going to assume that no one has a question, and if you do, you have one more chance. You can speak up and interrupt me. Press *6 and speak up. But I'm going to assume that we've had all the questions that anyone wants to ask at this time, and I want to give you a practice that comes out of questions that I often get, especially when we're meditating on awareness. And, you know, part of what happens when we meditate is that we actually move into the subtle body and even into a deeper experience of the energy bodies that are actually subtler than the subtle body. So for many of you, when you begin to come out of meditation, you might notice that you actually are feeling a little bit disembodied. You know, not everybody has this experience. Some people have, you know, what I would call very physical embodied meditations. But if what's happening in your practice is that you're starting to feel a little bit expanded or a little bit out of your body, then when you come, you know, as you come out of meditation, it's really helpful to deliberately reconnect yourself with the physical body. And one of the things that I've often done is, you know, is kind of massage my legs or my arms or touch my feet, just to bring a sense of physical touch, to bring consciousness into the body. And this is actually a part of integrating your experience. And one of the things that allows us to touch subtle states in meditation and then make a bridge between those subtle states and the rest of our day without getting spacey or sensitive and without totally leaving meditation behind on the mat, is to consciously take a few moments at the end of meditation to bring yourself back. And one of the reasons that I like to write in my journal after meditation and why I encourage you to write in your journal is because writing in your journal is not only a way of recording your experience. Sometimes, it's not that you have to write a whole big thing at the end of your meditation, but often in the aftermath of your meditation, if you just pick up your journal and your pen and start to write, you'll find that your deeper self actually has something to say that you may not even be aware of. And even if you just write down, I meditated with the breath and I am, wrote down a few lines about what you did, it will actually help create a record of your practice that's very, very useful in the years to come, in the months and years to come. And sometimes there's going to be some really amazing insight that comes up. I have a friend who began to write all sorts of inspired poetry, and she did it just by sitting for a few minutes after meditation and letting what wanted to come out. So there's another thing I'd like to offer. When you begin to tune into the witness, to the awareness that's present through your meditation, what you're actually tuning into is what we might call the clear refracting lens, the luminous mirror that's actually holding our experience. And there's often a moment when you can realize that what's going on inside and what's going on outside, meaning in the external world, is actually being held in awareness. It's arising and subsiding in awareness. And sometimes what happens as you begin to go deep in meditation is that you actually see emotions or states in your inner being. They come up. They really come up to be seen and expelled from your system. And sometimes what happens is that these inner states will kind of get projected on the people around you. So that, you might experience grief or infatuation or hostility. And actually what's occurring is the natural purifying process of meditation. So one thing to remember as we take these practices into our lives is that the practice of tuning in and being with the breath and the I am and the practice of becoming aware of awareness at different moments during the day, what I call the walking around practice, can actually make the meditative awareness and its clarity and its peacefulness a part of your daily life. And this is especially true about the awareness practice because awareness is a kind of luminous fire that is, as you begin to become more and more present to the presence, to the awareness that you've started to become conscious of in meditation, it can actually begin to infuse your life and dissolve a lot of the contractions that you might be finding coming up, in daily life. So let yourself make use of these practices as you're walking through your life. So we're going to do another practice that's related to meditation. It's actually a kind of meditative contemplation, a form of what we could call affirmative prayer. And you might, if you're feeling a little cramped, you might want to stretch for a moment or take a couple of deep breaths. And this particular practice that we're going to do, this affirmative prayer practice, is an extremely practical way to work with obstructions that may be coming up or with intentions that you might like to seed into your life. But we're going to start with working with it for letting go. It's important with a practice like this, just let me say before we start, to be very open about it, not to necessarily have a big expectation about what's going to happen, but to have a kind of what's sometimes called working faith, that when you open yourself to this kind of practice, that you're opening yourself to the powerful energy of your own inner divinity, your own inner Shakti, your own inner awareness, which is actually capable of making beautiful changes in your life and blessing you. So I'm going to ask you to find something that you are finding obstructive in your life, and it could be a mood or an emotion, you know, a kind of emotionality, or even a feeling of, you know, slight unhappiness or discontent, or a feeling of being stuck. You know, for many people, the obstruction is not feeling. So, you know, this sense of obstruction can be just about anything. You know, a feeling of disconnection or just a sense that you're not going deep enough in your practice. So find your obstruction, whatever it is. And formulate it to yourself. You know, just say, okay, I recognize this obstruction, this contraction in my consciousness, this thing in me that I would really like to be free of. And formulate it and then let it go, as we did with our intention. Just let the breath flow in and out. And let yourself now open to the fact that there is such a thing as presence, that there is a mystery that's inherent in the universe, a sublime and subtle life force that we could call the great mind or the great heart or the great intelligence within which this whole world arises and subsides. You can call it God, you can call it presence, you could just call it what is, or divine intelligence, or the evolutionary force of nature. But allow yourself to recognize that whether you're aware of it in this moment or not, there is this open intelligence, this loving intelligence, at the heart of all that is. The heart of you. And we recognize in this moment the vast and loving depth of the universe. So we're starting now this practice, this affirmative prayer practice, and we're starting it by honoring the presence that lives in all of us, that dances as our bodies, that dances as our own unique personal intelligence, that dances as the earth, that dances as the stars, that dances as the planets, and that dances as the profound force of growth and change that overflows out of the love that is life itself. So in this moment, we recognize this great intelligence, this this great intelligent love and its infinite creativity and its blossoming, its unfolding, its unending capacity for growth, for liberation, for blessing. And we recognize also that this vast intelligence is not different than our own minds, that this loving presence is not different than you. The light of spirit, the mystery, the presence that has become each of us, and it stands ready in every moment to create itself anew in each of us right now, to create itself in you as your highest self, as your most authentic self, as your most beautiful self. And knowing the infinite creativity and grace that is our being, we recognize that whatever stands in the way of our freedom, of our love for our life, of our love for one another, whatever stands in the way of our freedom is being removed, it's being dissolved. We're being freed in this moment of limiting beliefs, of fears, of uncertainties, of doubts. We're being freed of all the contractions that stand in the way of our deepest loving and unfolding. Whatever it is that we chose as the obstruction that we are ready to let go of is ready to let go. And as this obstruction dissolves, as we allow it to dissolve, as that power that has manifested the universe dissolves our obstruction into particles, we recognize the wholeness, the exquisite beauty that lives in every cell and every particle of our being. We feel the courage that is our birthright, and we recognize that there is no need to struggle. Because everything we need for our spiritual unfoldment has already been given and is unfolding even now as strength, as love, as tenderness, as insight, as limitless creativity. It's liberating itself within us. And so we turn to our inner splendor in recognition and ease. We allow ourselves to occupy our being in its fullness, knowing that in any moment when love or wisdom seems hidden, we can open to it, because love and wisdom are always present, always full in us. And for this recognition, and for the sublime freedom that is lifting our obstructions, we are so grateful. And we recognize together, each of us, that it is and ever shall be in love, now and forever. And so it is. And in this moment, let your awareness open fully to the entire experience of being inside your body with your breath, present to whatever is arising or not arising, letting yourself be as you are, with the recognition that as you are in this moment, you are freedom and you are love. And you are fine. You're good. So as we go into the evening, welcoming your experience, you might want to take a moment as we sign off to write in your journal. And you might notice that the effects of this evening show up in your dreams or in very subtle shifts that may happen immediately or over time. but just know that in truth, with this practice, liberation happens. And so please continue with your meditation. You'll receive a new homework assignment with this practice. And have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. And don't forget to stay in touch. To stay in touch with the listserv and with the unfolding we space that we share. Namaste. Good night. Many blessings and much love.